virtuous woman, for her price is far above her reach. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need for spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out, by night. She layeth her hand to the spindle, and her hand holdeth the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth with her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all of her household are clothed in scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when she sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdle unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, excellent, let them fall. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hand, and let her own work praise her in the gate. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you. it's so good to see you today. You sure you your mom is still alive? You sure you give her a call or get in touch with her if you haven't already done so? You know, just think of the ones who wish they could do that. I know Brother Sam, we want to pray for our Brother Sam, whose mom just passed away the last month or so. Good to see Suresh. Where's Suresh? Back with us, brother. Good to see you back from Trinidad. You have a good time? So you got to ask Suresh how his trip was to Trinidad. Amen. Good to see him. We miss him when he's not with us, of course. We greet you this morning. Welcome to our church. I want to thank Juliet for being here on Mother's Day. God bless you, sister. We want to greet our deaf folks up here. God bless you all. You know, I was down at school when I was at Bob Jones last week. There's a young man who does sign language. I'm trying to get him to come up here, and maybe we can even see a deaf church come back. So pray for that. His name is Ben. Ben Muldoon. And I heard about him through Susanna Flanders from the Bill Rice branch. So anyway, I talked with him, and that would be great. We're so glad to have our deaf folks at Heritage Baptist Church. Well, this morning I want to preach to you on a mother that we read about her in the Old Testament. We don't really see where she's a mother, but she's a fantastic mother in the Bible. And guess what her name is? Rahab. And she's mentioned in the New Testament. And it's interesting, she's always called in the New Testament, at least of the two times, the harlot Rahab. But we want to see Rahab, how she instilled strength, character, faith to her children. And she's a great woman of faith. Let's bow together as we start this message. Father, please work and encourage our dear moms today to build them up in the faith, to be women like Rahab became, and Lord, to be able to raise up mighty men of valor for you, as Ruth, as Rahab raised up her son Boaz to be a mighty man of valor. And so, Lord, please work in this time. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, mothers love to make sacrifices for their children that no one else would ever really think about making. Mothers love to make sacrifices for their children to make them feel special, right, moms? Don't you love to do that? You want to make your children feel like they are special because they are. You have children. There's no one in the world like them. They are unique and special, and you want to make them feel loved. Now, in a materialistic culture, to make them feel special and loved, it's sometimes you got to keep up and keep buying them stuff. You know, because your kids will come home and say, "Oh, look, my friend's mommy bought him a new HDTV, Mom." And make you feel like you won't be a good mother if you don't buy that new HDTV. Or your kids will come up to you and they'll say, "Oh, my friends, they have their own smartphones, Mom. If you really love me, you'll get me a smartphone too," you know? And sometimes, in this materialistic culture, we don't keep just buying all the stuff that our friends, the friends of our kids are getting, we might feel like a little guilty. Has that ever happened to you? Well, we do want to make our children feel special and loved. And obviously, we will buy them some things. But Mom, this morning, I want to challenge you to give your children some. You're going to like this message because it won't cost you any more money. Give your children something that won't cost you money, but it will take all the strength of your soul to give them. I want to challenge you to give your children something that will truly show you love them, and it will last longer than any smartphone you could buy them. I remember the first video set, the video game. Man, I held out as long as Debbie and I, we held out as long as we possibly could on this video game thing, you know, when our kids were little. And the first one we got them, See if you remember this one. Sega Saturn. That was the first one we bought our kids. Guess where that Sega Saturn is now? Okay? Oh, that thing's long gone. So the stuff we buy for our kids, it gets worn out and it gets old fast. But I want to encourage you to give something to your children that will be more valuable and it will last longer than anything we can buy for our children. I want you to give your children something that will provide them the infrastructure, the strength of soul, to be strong in character, so that your children become dependable employees one day and work hard. So that your children become true Christians and follow and serve Jesus Christ. So that your children become good parents one day. Don't we want our kids to grow up and be good citizens, good workers, good parents? But most of all, we want our children to know Jesus Christ and follow Him. And buying stuff isn't necessarily going to do that. So I want to talk to you about giving your children the great gift of faith, of living faith in your life, and then attempting, by His grace, to impart that faith to others. And that's what Rahab teaches us. Rahab is an incredible woman in the Bible of faith. You know, she's mentioned in 3 New Testament verses. I have them up here. She's mentioned alongside who? Sarah. In what chapter? What is the Hall of Faith chapter? That's Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 begins with all these great men, and 2 women of faith are mentioned in the whole chapter. One of the women is Sarah. And all the women the writer could think of and write by inspiration of God to put in Hebrews 11, to put alongside Abel and Abraham and Noah and Moses and Gideon and David. He used 2 women, Sarah and guess who? Rahab. And here's the verse. Hebrews 11:31. Let's say it. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with ease. So other than Sarah, no other women are even mentioned. Rahab is special. And what makes her very special is her faith. She's also mentioned alongside Abraham as an example of having a faith that works. Remember the Hebrews or James chapter 2 passage where the writer James is saying, faith without works is dead. If you have faith, but there's nothing to back that faith up by good works, you don't have faith, you have wishful thinking. Rahab had true faith and a faith at work. And here's the verse in James chapter 2, verse 25. It says, read it with me if you can see it down there. It says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? So both of these passages are talking about how Rahab received these messengers that came to her when God had appointed a city. What city was appointed to destruction, you remember? The city of Jericho. Remember, the walls came tumbling down. And guess who lived alongside those walls? Guess who lived on the walls of Jericho? Rahab. I often wonder if her wall just stood up and all the rest of the walls fell down, because we'll see the people that were in her house, they stayed in there when the walls went down, and then they would seem to have been rescued out of there. So it's really an amazing thing. But Rahab had faith. And she showed her faith by her works. But these 2 examples are extraordinary. That she's mentioned in the Hall of Faith alongside Sarah. And then she's mentioned as an example. I mean, the writer could have chosen so many different characters, right? Of faith. And he picked Abraham and Rahab. Okay? That's extraordinary. But there's something even more extraordinary. The 3rd place that Rahab is mentioned in the New Testament, you know where it is? She is included in the genealogy of the Messiah of Jesus Christ. She, in effect, becomes the great, 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 whatever, how many greats you want to add to that? I lose count. grandmother of Jesus Christ. Because Rahab, and here's the verse, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she marries, after the walls can't come on down, she's received into the land of Israel. She becomes, by faith, Jewish, an Israelite. She believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she marries a man named Salmon. And they have a guy named Boaz. Now, you know Boaz?
Yeah.
Read the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth tells us about Boaz. We might even say, well, why is that book in the Bible? Because he married, Boaz is going to marry another Gentile, and maybe Boaz would redeem Ruth being a Moabite, remember? Because Boaz's mother was a Gentile too. And so Boaz marries Ruth, and they have a child named Obed, and guess what? Obed has a child named Jesse, and Jesse has a child named King David. So Rahab is like the great-great-great-grandmother of King David. This is a great woman of faith. So she had a faith that instilled strength. And especially, when I say what instilled strength, I'm thinking how Rahab and her husband Salmon had a son named Boaz. And Boaz was a man of strength. In fact, it says in Ruth chapter 2 that Boaz was a mighty man of valor. That's what it says about Gideon. Gideon was a mighty man of valor. And it speaks of character, of strength on the inner inside. So I'm saying to you today that this woman, we want to study her faith a little bit. She had faith that she was able to impart to Boaz to become a mighty man of valor. And then he would redeem Ruth, when other people didn't want to. And he became the great-grandfather of King David. And they're included in the genealogy of Jesus. By the way, the genealogy of Jesus has Jews and Gentiles in it because he's the Savior of who?
Everybody.
He's the Savior of the world. So let's go to Joshua chapter 2 this morning. Joshua chapter 2 is the story of the spies going to Rahab, and how Rahab receives them, protects them, sends them out another way, and Rahab and her family eventually are even delivered from the destruction that happens to Jericho. I want us to see just a few things about Rahab's faith this morning. The first thing I want us to see is that Rahab had a saving faith. From the verses that we even read, from Hebrews chapter 11 and James chapter 2, Rahab had a faith whereby she was truly saved. Can we agree with that? Well, let's look at some of the things about her faith. If we go to Joshua chapter number 2, let me just read up at verse 1, and I'm going to just read down, at least for now, I'll read down to verse 11, if you allow me to do that. Joshua chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight to the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." Now, you know what this is saying? This is saying that the Jewish people had spies, but it's also saying Jericho had a counter spy intelligence. And when those spies of Israel went into Jericho, the king knew exactly where they had gone. There was spy intelligence that said they went to the house of Rahab. So he sent his CIA officers, counterintelligence officers, if you will, to the house of Rahab. And verse 4, "The woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I was not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither they went, I was not. I don't know where they went. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax. Now, I have that underlined in my Bible, and I'll tell you why as we work through this. But there were stalks of flax which he had laid in order upon the roof. So it was enough stalks of flax. It must have been a lot because he hid these two men under them. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan to the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were drawn out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof. Now she had had a conversation with them, it seems, previous to these other things happening. And this is what she had told them, verse 9. And here's her faith. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Mark that in your Bible. There's her faith. She says, for the Lord your God, not the gods of this land of Canaan, not the gods of Jericho, but your God, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, is the one true God of heaven above. And listen, if you're the God of heaven, you're the God of earth. He says, and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness. That's that Hebrew word. Helen? That's that Hebrew word. Kindness. You know, mercy. What is it? Remember? Chesed. That's the word for God's grace and mercy. So Ruth is showing kindness because she believes in the kindness of the God of that, in whom she believes. And now she's asking for kindness also from them. That you will also show me kindness and give me a true token. And read verse 13 as our last verse for now. It says, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters and all that they have. And what? Deliver our lives from death. Okay, now here's Rahab's faith. She had a saving faith. How was her faith a saving faith? This is just point one. I want to just talk about this for a moment. First of all, we could say definitely her faith came by what? Hearing. And that's what she says in verse number 10. She says, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Now, if anyone is going to be saved, they first must hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, Rahab heard what God did in bringing Israel out of Egypt, how He delivered them through the Red Sea. She believed that the Lord God was a God of power, that He dried up the water of the Red Sea. Now, do you think Rahab went to a little Bible study in Jericho? You know, all the ladies of Jericho, oh, they have a Bible study and learn about the God of Abraham. You think that's how she went? Do you think somebody delivered her the book of the law and she read it out of the book of Exodus that we have? You think that's how she heard? I don't think so. Do you think Rahab went on at www.sermonaudio.com to listen to Moses' sermon from Mount Sinai? You know, oh, you've got to hear what Moses said on Mount Sinai. If you go to Sermon Audio, you can hear it. No. There were no prophets, from what we would know, who went to Rahab. She had no written word. She went to no Bible study. She just heard the talk of it. And much of the talk was probably from unbelieving people, afraid that these Israelites who had been miraculously delivered out of Egypt were coming toward them after they wandered around for 40 years. So this had happened 40 years previous, but Rahab heard it and she believed it. Now she had little to base her faith upon, but she believed. And if we're going to have a saving faith, we must hear. Now, we must hear about Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We must hear that Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
That
He is God and He is man. God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for the sins of the world. Saving faith is when you hear about Jesus Christ, who He is, and then what He's done. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. But saving faith says it this way. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. In saying that, you're saying, I deserve to die for my what? For my sins. For the wages of sin is death. And so saving faith comes to the grips, I am lost. I am worthy of judgment. And Rahab believed that about her culture and her city. She believed that God was going to bring a judgment. And the people's hearts were melting and fainting about what they had heard was going to happen to them. They didn't believe. They just melted. Rahab heard and believed. Saving faith is when you believe that Jesus Christ died for you. And that He rose again. He's alive. He is the resurrection and the life. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Saving faith is when you bow your knee and repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have saving faith? Now her faith, secondly, was an act of her will. Notice what it says in verse number 9. She said to the men, what did she say to the men? I know. I know that the Lord has given you the land. She understands that God is at work. And Rahab, I want to make this point very clear, exercised her faith to believe. Nobody can believe for you. You cannot go to heaven through the faith of your mother. You cannot go to heaven through somebody forcing you to believe anything. You are responsible before God to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, that being said, you know what's amazing? Is people often ask, I remember before I was saved, one of the questions I had, and most unsaved people have this question, and it really bothers, I think it bothers us as people, is like, well, what about the people who never hear about Jesus? You know, what about them? Well, so here's a woman, here's an example of a woman in a pagan culture completely surrounded by a false worldview where it seems that, how is she going to find out? Well, she heard. And then she believed. And then God, and here's how human responsibility works miraculously and mysteriously with God's divine sovereignty, and I don't understand it, but I believe both of them. God saw a woman in that pagan city with faith and sent two spies to her. Isn't that amazing? Of all the places where they could have gone in Jericho, those spies went to the house. Bread. And so I believe God does that. God sees people believe and God will send them more truth to even encourage their faith. But for us, here's the thing. How much faith does it take to save?
Mustard.
Jesus said, if you have faith of a grain of mustard seed. You must believe on Jesus Christ. You can't be saved because your life is saved. You can't be saved because your children are saved. You will only be saved when you believe. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. You know who whosoever is? That's you. That's me. So the second thing, the third thing here is, her faith was evidenced by works. So Rahab shows her loyalty to the people of God and the promises that God had made to the people of Israel. In a sense, Rahab becomes a traitor to her own people. And she says, like Ruth later on said, remember when Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said, go back to your gods. But Ruth said, I won't go back. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people.
Ruth showed that loyalty. You know, when you follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you have to become loyal to the people as well, right? It's like when you follow Jesus Christ, you have to then join a church or be a part of a church, not as an act of salvation, but as a demonstration of, yes, I want to now grow in my faith. I want to unite and I want to associate myself with the people of God. So Rahab evidenced her faith by her works, saying that she was loyal now to the people of God. And then her faith was evidenced by repentance. Now, I have a book. My wife has a book in her library, and I kind of scanned it last night. I would recommend you ladies get this book. It's called Girls Gone Wild. No, Girls Gone Wise in a World Where Girls Are Going Wild. And we've heard that expression, Girls Gone Wild, because of these wicked videos and things. But, you know, here was a woman, Rahab, she had gone wild. But now she goes wise. She shows repentance. You say, how does she show repentance? Well, look at verse number 6. It says, she brought the men up to the roof of her house, and she hid them with the stalks of flax. Now, Rahab's house used to be a brothel. I mean, I don't think there's really any way around that. It was a den of prostitution. She was a harlot. And it was probably a house that was known for people coming and going. But my understanding is, I read the text, when these spies go there, she's not acting as a harlot any longer. She is now a seamstress. She is now a seller of clothes. She has stalks of flax on her roof. And one of the reasons we had read Proverbs 31 this morning is that Proverbs 31 references flax. And one who seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands, who fears the Lord, that Rahab has now repented of her wild days and now is no longer a girl gone wild. She's become a girl wise. Flax. And not only that, but she lets down the men. What does she let them down with? What does it say? You know this. In verse number 18, what does it say? They let them down by a scarlet thread, literally rope, because they couldn't have gone down the rope with the thread, right? And we know that the thread would have like broken. Okay. So it was a rope. And she let them, and it was a scarlet rope. You know what they used that scarlet rope? And had there been a long rope, because it went all the way down the side of her wall, and then let the men down to the bottom. Now, we don't know how long the wall was, but it had to be a long rope. And it was scarlet. What do you think they used that scarlet for? To dye clothes. It was part of her clothes making business. So Rahab shows she has become repentant. You know, moms, this is where we need to demonstrate repentance. In a world where girls have gone, many girls have gone wild, we need wise women, pure women. In this book, Girls Gone Wise, one of the things it said was that an average woman exposes herself to 3,500 hours of mass media every year. That's 7 months of time. That's what it says, the average. Well, if that's the case, there's not a whole lot of Bible reading, Bible studies, praying, and going to church. So I want to just challenge all of us, and I want to ask you, how much time do you spend on your iPhone? How much time do you spend internet surfing? How much time do you spend watching movies? How much time do you spend sitting there watching the television? And then how much time do we spend reading the Bible? Praying. And people say, I don't have time for church. Well, praise God that you do. But you know, we spend 3,500 hours a year, 7 months of your time, doing all that other stuff. You're not going to have very much time to go to church and follow Jesus. You're going to go wild. We need to go wise. Now, the next point I want to make, not only did she have a saving faith, but more quickly now, she had a courageous faith. Rahab's faith was courageous. What made it courageous? Well, the king sends special intelligence officers. Listen, if you're hiding spies in your house and the CIA shows up, you're going to be shaking in your boots. I'll be nervous, right? But Rahab deals with this situation, and she does not turn them over to the authorities. And she willingly hides the spies. She defies her king. She stands against the earthly powers at great risk. This shows courage. She was willing to suffer for her faith. Now, I'm not saying that we as believers should go out of our way to defy earthly powers. I believe we need to honor the king and submit to our government. We need to pray for our leaders, our president, our governor, our mayor, those who have been elected into office. We need to pray for them, and we need to render to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, to God the things that are God's. But you know what? As I read my Bible, I see sometimes that God's people have to stand up against wicked government. The Hebrew midwives were told by Pharaoh to abort any male children born. The Hebrew midwives did. They feared God. And guess who was born? Moses. If Pharaoh had his way, Moses would have been aborted. Daniel defied Darius' decree. They said, nobody will pray and ask anything of any man except to the king. Daniel said, I will defy that decree. I will still pray 3 times a day. And he was cast where? Into the lion's den. And God shut the mouths of the lions. Amen? The apostles defied the worldly powers that told them, do not speak anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. What does a people do when government says, you cannot witness on the streets? You cannot freely speak forth the gospel. What do God's people do? We witness on the streets and we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it comes to that, we say what the apostles said, which they said it clearly. It's in the Bible, Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than man. So here's a situation, it seems to me, that Rahab stood against the king to stand for the King of Kings. It was a courageous faith. Thirdly, it was a lonely faith. Who was standing with Rahab when she was hiding those spies? Who was with her? Who was corroborating with her? Nobody. Here was Rahab. She had grown up in the city. She had adopted the carnal worldview of the Canaanite culture. She had bought into its mentality. We know that she did because she was a harlot. She helped shape its mentality. She helped further its immorality as a harlot, a prostitute. But Rahab came to faith and repentance. And when she came to that faith, now she had to literally stand alone. And believing in the God of Abraham sent her now against her culture. She had to stand against everything she had stood for before. Isn't that amazing? Beloved, more and more our culture is becoming so ungodly that we're going to have to stand against the things that are being approved of political correctness in our culture, our city, or our nation. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in the Word of God, what the Bible says about life in the womb, what the Bible says about marriage and husbands and wives being as one flesh, and us holding to the biblical position and pattern of marriage and family and godly living, we are to stand against the ungodliness of our culture. And we may have to stand alone. But you know, in her lonely faith, you know, the next generation after Joshua, the book of Judges, those of you who've read the book of Judges, you know there's a phrase that it repeats itself throughout the book of Judges. It says that every man did what? Was right in their own eyes. Now that's not talking about Canaanite culture, that's talking about what culture? Jewish culture at that time. In other words, the Israelites, in the very next generation after Joshua died, there was no king and everybody did what was right in their own eyes.
But there was a man in the book of Ruth, given as an example, who didn't do what was right in his own eyes. He did what was right according to the law, and he redeemed a Gentile woman named Ruth, and his name was Boaz. And his mother was who?
Rahab.
In other words, Rahab was stood alone, and then she raised a son named Boaz, who stood alone too, and a culture where everybody was doing what they wanted to do.
Listen, we must not do what we want to do. We must do that which pleases our God and brings glory to Jesus. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Titus chapter 2, please. If you could read, go to Titus chapter 2. It says the grace of God in verse 11, Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. There it is. That's a lonely world if you're going to deny the ungodliness and the worldly lust. But moms, we need you. We need you to stand up for Jesus and deny the ungodliness of our culture and the worldly lust and teach your sons and teach your daughters to be holy unto God, to be saved, to have faith, and to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And quickly, I see our time has just about dissipated. If you could go back to Joshua chapter 2, I want to say next that Rahab had a confident faith. She had a confident faith. I want you to see her confidence. And just underline it again in chapter 2 of Joshua and verse 9. Joshua chapter 2 verse 9, it says, and she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. That's what she knows. She's confident. You know, as I read that, you know what I think of? You see, Joshua was coming into their culture and he was going to take over the land. Joshua was coming and he was going to take the land as their, if you will, Jehoshua. Which the Joshua is the Old Testament name for who?
Jesus.
So, as I read that verse, I think of ourselves right now in 2014. I know that the Lord has given you the land. I know that our Jesus is coming. And the land will be his. And his kingdom will stand forever. That's what I'm confident in. And that's why we stand where we stand, because our Savior is God. He is Lord, and he is coming. Jesus is coming. For them, Joshua is coming. For us, Jesus is coming. And he will rule in Jerusalem. There will be a kingdom, and Jesus will be the king in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe that, right? So for millennium, for 1,000 years. And Jesus will sit on the throne of David. And Jesus will fulfill the ultimate fulfillment of all the promises God made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jesus is coming again. And then it says at the end of verse 11, here's her confidence. At the end she says, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and where? In the earth beneath. God is God of heaven and earth. Now they're still on this earth, beloved. There's no doubt about it. There's a usurper named Satan who came in and tempted and deceived man. And this earth is filled with murder and bloodshed and lies and cheating and deception. But still, God rules over all. And he is God of heaven and earth. And Satan is destroyed underneath his feet. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's our confidence. And then I want us to see quickly Rahab's faith with a soul-winning faith. She wanted to see the salvation of her family. If you look at Joshua chapter 2, she said, save alive my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. Deliver our lives from death. And what did Rahab have to do? Rahab had to put a scarlet cord on the window on the outside of her house, and where whoever went into that room, into where the scarlet cord was, would be saved. And that's the last thing I want to say here, is she, I don't know if this is going to make sense, but I just had to try to put this in and try to make some sense of this. But she had what I call a sure token faith. What do I mean by that? Well, look in Joshua chapter 2, and please read with me, as in verse 15 of Joshua 2, you with me? She let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall, and she said, get you to the mountains. Okay, and then, verse 17, the men said to her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which you have made us swear. Behold, when we come to the land, you shall bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which you did let us down by. And then you shall bring in your father and your mother and your brothers and the household home to you. And it shall be that whoever shall go out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood will be upon his head. And we will be guiltless. But whosoever shall be with thee in this house, his blood shall be on our head, if any man be upon him. And then they said, if you tell anybody this, then this covenant is broken. And now verse 21, read that verse with me, please. She said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. I could see her hands tying that scarlet line, that scarlet rope in the window. Now, throughout the centuries, way back in church history, this scarlet line has been seen as a picture of the blood of Christ cleansing us from our sin. You say, well, in what way? Well, think of these spies going into Jericho. Remember, they had been delivered out of Egypt just 40 years previous. And what did they put on their door to be delivered out of Egypt? They had to put the blood of the Passover lamb on the window. So perhaps when Rahab let them down through the window, their mind raced back to the blood that was on their door. And they say, the scarlet rope, maybe it did remind them of the blood on their door. And so they say, you keep the scarlet line, the scarlet rope, hanging out your window. And that way we will know whoever is in your house will be spared from the judgment of Jericho. That's a beautiful picture of being in a place of safety. You know, God always has a place of safety. God was going to destroy the world, but there was one door in all the earth that led into an ark. And whoever went into that ark was saved. Well, this was the Ark of Jericho. And it was marked with a red scarlet cord. And there was safety. And beloved, there's still one place of safety today. Safety from the judgment that's going to come. Safety so that you can enter into the kingdom of God forever and ever. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ upon the door of your house. And moms, pass on this faith to your children. So that they can live Jesus, live godly in an ungodly day. Let's stand together as we pray. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy that is abundant, that is infinite, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So great is your mercy to them that fear you. Lord God, we pray that you would cover us today with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood shed nearly 2,000 years ago is still powerful to save.
Amen.
That your blood is incorruptible. Thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Jesus. You died for us where we deserve to die for our sins and even go to hell. Lord, you saved us from so great a death. You saved us from the destruction of hell through the death and shed blood of Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you didn't stay dead, but you're alive. You're risen again. Lord, you're coming again. Your kingdom is coming. coming as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Lord, come and sit on your throne, Jesus. Tear down the kingdoms of men and set up your kingdom that will stand forever, Lord. We're looking forward to that day when there is peace in Jerusalem, Lord Jesus. Help us to have the faith of Rahab. To have this kind of confident faith. To have a courageous faith. To have a faith that's willing to stand alone, Lord. A faith that has a passion and heart to win other souls to you.
Amen.
A faith that is not ashamed of the sure token, the blood on the door.
Amen.
May we not be ashamed of the blood that you shed on the cross, Lord. And if anyone is here and they do not have a saving faith, help them to be saved today. Now, how many would say, Pastor Matt, thank God that I have a saving faith. The Lord has delivered me from the death of hell, and I'm on my way to heaven by the grace of Jesus Christ. Can I see your hand?
Amen.
Raise up your hand as a testimony that Jesus is your Savior.
Amen.
And say, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're alive. You hear our prayers. You can put your hands down. How many would say, Pastor Matt, I wasn't able to put my hand up. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? Pray for me that I can be saved today. Is there anyone at all who'd say, Pastor, pray for me? Is there anyone that I can pray for you? You need a saving faith in Jesus. You want to call upon Him. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Is there anyone who'd say, Brother Reverend, pray for me? Heaven would say, Pastor, I am saved, but my faith is weak. Sometimes I'm not willing to stand alone. Sometimes my confidence is weak in the Lord, and I'm not very courageous to let others know that I'm His. I want to have the power of God in my life to have that soul winner faith, as Rahab had, to raise up her son Boaz to be a mighty man of valor. Pray for me, Pastor, that I'll have this kind of faith that Rahab had. Can I see your hand? Raise it up and just say, praise the Lord. Help me to have a faith that's strong, confident, courageous, soul-winning, not ashamed. Thank you, Father. Bless us now. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.